Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And the big issue will we have the cold air in place? I know you want it so we can have all those snowstorms
I hate
that you
snow.
Love.
Is this the news? Or?
By the way, what's going to happen this weekend? Is it going? We just going to have storms all weekend? Is it worth
it
to go to the beach?
No, the beach could be a mess. Could be a lot of thunderstorms, a lot of rain this weekend. Going to be difficult up in Flushing Meadow. Is that where they still play that tennis thing?
Yes, they
this
do.
This time of year, which
yes,
starts today.
Yes, starts today.
US Open. So people want to know the details of your firing. Are you at liberty to discuss that? Or no?
not at this point.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
That was funny. That was funny. All right. We're live at Chatter, and we begin the new year. So I'm grateful that we're partners still with Cadence 13. Yes, thank you. And that new year is coming up next week or the end of this week. We begin the new year. You know, most of America runs on Dunkin', but also runs on school year. School year is Labor Day is January 1st for most of us on a lot of levels. So we've got that going on. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is not having to coach this morning. He is here. Nigel's going to produce the show, going to do the news. Let me do a little bit of business here. Chatter has the NFL season kickoff party. This is Thursday night. Tonight is Tuesday night. And so in 2 days, on September 6th, is the NFL season kickoff party with a halftime buffet. And you will have light fare is complimentary with a drink purchase. There are game day specials like wings and beer and pitchers and Bud and Beam. Bud Light or Budweiser bottle with a shot of Jim Beam, $11. That's not for me. That's not what I do. And the plastic party pints are $12. The plastic party pints, which you buy, enable you at any pro football game here to get a discount on beer. And we're going to give two of these. Well, actually, we're going to give one away.
Really?
My man from Gainesville with Notre Dame gets one.
Well, he's throwing pints in the plastic party.
And then we get one more for somebody local. It's got to be somebody who lives local. If somebody's here from Ohio, they're not coming back.
That Thursday is Philly-Atlanta, NFL season opener.
Without Carson Wentz.
Correct.
Nick Foles will start in that game. Carson Wentz not yet cleared to play. It's a sports show, but I've got to begin with something that happened to me last night. About 1:30 in the morning, I awoke. Now, I have this theory. And Michael is very and by the way, please come to Chatter and buy something. Please come to Chatter when it's raining or sunny or whatever.
Is this another raccoon story?
No, but it's not a raccoon story. But
it's a
I
badger
have,
story.
As Michael knows, I believe that there is something in the male fiber that there's a protective instinct that you sort of understand when something is on the verge of going wrong.
Go watch the thunderstorm.
When it's going to be a hurricane. Right. Michael, do you want to explain that? That's a memory of your childhood.
Hurricane.
Oh, this was Hurricane Bob. In the early 90s, the one trip we took to Bethany Beach.
That's right.
You patrolled the outside. We had rented
Mike
a house.
Mike Litwin and I.
This was beach block. You patrolled the entire evening before the storm. Mm-hmm. The rest of us slept beautifully, if I remember, and you were just outside on storm watch.
Mike and I were out there because we felt something was going to happen.
What were you doing? You're monitoring?
Getting ready. Yeah. Getting ready to evacuate.
You're boarding up the windows?
There's
a gleam,
no,
man.
I didn't care about the windows. I didn't own the house.
Just looking at the sky.
Just walking from the front
just
porch
to, the,
to
sky.
The beach entrance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wait.
And as it approached, I'm sure they sort of look at each other nodding. There it is.
I mean, to be clear, I wouldn't be doing anything either. Right? Okay. It's not like I'd be boarding up the windows. But Okay.
So I'm suggesting that I believe that there is this instinct among males. Now, I could be wrong, but it certainly happens to me. Last night, at exactly 1:46, I got up and looked around and realized all the power was out in my house. And I know it was 1:46 because I had to go over to Carol's side and look at her cell phone, which she looks at constantly, and it said 1:46. She was asleep.
Side note.
Total darkness, looked out the back. Nothing
Do
on the
know
other block.
What woke you up? I guess you heard the power
just
go out, basically.
No, it was disturbance.
Sensed it.
There was
no,
a
sense.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Force.
Right.
Sensed it. Walked all around my house, no power at all. Got the dog, put the dog on the leash.
Said, why'd you wake the dog up?
We're going out.
Going hunting.
First of all, go ask the neighbors.
Go ring some doorbells. Do you have power?
Yeah, check the little house.
The little house had nothing.
Why did you not turn the TV on to see when the cable went out?
I didn't even know about that. I'm just going to tell you what
I'm not
I
sure
did.
That would work.
How could the TV go on?
Now it's my
Oh. So I went downstairs because I know where the flashlights are. But it's tough to navigate the steps. You know, there is no light whatsoever. And it's not like if you get down there, you can open up the refrigerator because you got to get down there. Once I got down there, I had a sense.
Well, there's not going to be any light in the refrigerator,
that's right,
Tony.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I had a sense of where the flashlights were and the lantern, and I got that tactical lantern
a couple
of years ago.
Yes. Not a kerosene, not a Coleman lantern, kerosene-powered.
No, I opened it, and that lit up the whole house.
Sure.
And I carried it around like a watchman. All right?
Went like outside, Paul Revere's
took
ride.
The dog out, outside, nothing. Nothing on the streets, nothing.
Pitch black.
And there's nothing, you can't call the power company because I don't have any power. My landlines don't have any power. And I don't even know their number anyway. It doesn't matter. But I didn't get back to sleep at all.
Oh.
That's from 1:46 on.
Ugh.
Not at all. I don't know the extent of the power, but I realized, like, when your power's out in your neighborhood, and they're talking about you on television. You don't know.
No idea.
Nope.
Right. You got to get an old timey radio.
You don't know. You don't know what
battery powered radio.
Battery powered transistor radio.
Transistor.
They don't make anymore.
So when did it come back on?
It came back on about 3:15. About 3:15, I had the flashlights. I didn't light any candles or anything like that. But it was steamy in the house. I mean,
it's so hot.
It's here.
So hot and humid.
So
yeah.
I had that going on. I don't know the extent of the power outage.
Hmm.
I don't know. I only walked one block, and I didn't see any power at all on my street, including the city-owned lights. They were out
right,
as well.
Street lights, yeah.
Street lights were out as well. When I was younger, and this used to happen, the conspiracy theory always went like this. The power company knew that they were being taxed too much. There's too much power, too much air conditioning, not enough electricity. And they chose, however they chose, certain neighborhoods. Yeah. Boom, they zapped them.
Shave 5% a
day.
Right,
in the middle of the night.
Take it off for an hour and a half.
They zapped them in the middle of the night. So that could have, I don't know. I didn't see any trucks. When the power came back on, it's not like there were trucks in the alley or trucks on the street. I have
it's
no
all computers these days.
I have
anyways.
No way of knowing. No, you got to go fix it.
So, well, if a power line is down,
right.
If a line is
taken, I wouldn't think so, a power line would be out. Did you have power overnight?
We did.
Did you have power overnight in
Virginia?
Oh, yeah,
no problem.
Did
yeah.
you have power in Maryland overnight?
I did.
Did
I
you
did.
In the district have power?
Yes, I did.
But yeah, we live on the good side.
Our bills. Yeah,
we
so this, keep it on
this
for us.
Leads
we're close to Homeland Security, so we're on that grid where it just never seems to
any attempt, 3:15, to get back to bed, or you're at that point?
Lay there. Just lay there, and it was over. And plus, the dog, I got to be honest about this with the dog. The dog could see that I was in distress
right.
from mm-hmm. what had happened. The
yes.
dog has never seen me
because you were
do
breathing.
This. The dog could see that I was in distress. So the dog not just cuddled up, the dog lay on me.
Sure.
Like half the dog's body is
protect
on
him.
My head.
Trying to finish you
chest.
Off, crush the last breath of wind out of you.
Nothing.
That's a lot of body
bastard's
heat.
Bastard's buried three dogs. I'm going to get rid of him first.
I will put you in the ground.
75-pound dog.
I mean, the good thing is the air conditioning wasn't working.
Nothing was working.
So I just
and I was not going to open the window because it was hotter
no.
outside.
No.
It was much hotter.
Just
outside.
To follow on Gary's question because I'm intrigued at this. Do you? It's 1:55.
But I have lanterns.
You've ascertained the power is out on your block. Do you go back up to your bed and lay there, or do you just sit in the darkness like in your living room?
I lay there in my bed.
But you know you're not going to be able to sleep. You're not attempting sleep.
Well, I want to be near the baseball bat and the knives. In case this is
so
an attempt
now we know
me.
Where you have right. your baseball bat.
In case it's an attempt at me.
Of course.
Yeah, but okay.
Totally
the baseball
natural.
Bat and the knives,
yeah.
but
reasonable.
It doesn't matter if you know where they are because you're not coming into the upstairs window.
Right.
Well, I mean, as far as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to get past him to get to the knife in the nightstand.
But so you just lay there and you're agitated enough that you can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Makes sense.
So
yeah.
I am the type of person, I will sleep until my alarm goes off at 6 in the morning.
Oh, no, I'm always up ahead of
the I will make it to the alarm most mornings.
No.
This morning, I woke up at about 4:30, which is early for me.
Not for me.
And gave it the old college try, and at 5:30, I was still awake in bed, and I said, well, this isn't happening. So I went down to my home office and did some
working.
Work before I left. And before
are,
I left this
there
morning...
There are people who will tell you, if you wake up, you've got to get out of bed. You've got to go do something to go fall asleep again. But I did that and did not fall asleep.
So my wife said to me when I left, like, what was the deal? When did you get up? I said, well, I got up at 4:30 and I just got out of bed at 5:30. And she said, were you nervous about, like, the show? Were you stressed about, like, the show starting up again? And I said, no, the show doesn't. I've been doing it a long time. I don't think that's it. It's probably something that you did that I haven't figured out yet. So, but yeah, that was weird. That was weird for me. I like
to get my reps.
I'm getting older, so these guys probably still sleep, right?
I created a studio, a replica studio at my home,
so you could practice.
Yes, I get a few reps in. People wonder why I'm not good at this, and I don't know because I do practice a lot. I don't know what to tell you.
So I felt that this was genetic on my part. This was that instinct, that protective male instinct.
That is true.
Were you crashed tonight? I mean,
I hope so. I hope I'm in bed by
1:30. That's early to get up.
And I got Helen today. I got the gym. Yeah, and then out. I got the PTI show.
Yeah.
Guys are still doing that.
Back to school.
Well, it's
working out.
We're going to resume. Let me congratulate our friend, Brian Polian.
Oh, yes.
On his good coaching as Notre Dame beat Michigan. There were games over the weekend. You just do not expect these games in the first week. I'm sorry. Notre Dame-Michigan is not a league game, but Virginia Tech, Florida State, those are two of the three best teams year after year after year in the ACC, along with Clemson. And they played, and the Willie Taggart era started out badly. Yeah. And Virginia Tech does what it does all the time on special teams. They always score on special teams, even without Frank Beamer there. That's a big loss for Florida State at home in conference. Now, you can still, as we've seen, you can have one loss and you can make the tournament. But one loss first off the bat is very, very hard. The SEC was dominant. They were dominant. And the SEC, I know Wilbon hates to admit this. He doesn't admit it. He thinks the SEC is overrated. They didn't appear overrated on the first weekend. No. Penn State had to go to overtime with Appalachian State. Appalachian State has one of the greatest victories in the history of college football, Michigan, having beaten Michigan at the Big House a few years back. Alabama, Ohio State pounded people. And close to home for us, Maryland won a game that I thought they would lose by 30 points. Mm-hmm. Maryland without its head coach, God only knows when that's going to be decided officially, without any backing from the school whatsoever, in a terrible state of flux. Maryland went out there and beat Texas for the second straight year. Last year was at Texas, and that was an impressive victory. This is more impressive, and two things are suggested. One is that DJ Durkin knows how to recruit. They got players. Maryland has fast, good players. And two is that the happiest guy in the universe has to be this guy, Matt Canada, who nobody had ever heard of, who just won this game. And also, a third thing that is suggested is it Tom Herman? Is that the coach's name? Is that his first name?
Yeah, the guy from Houston, right?
He was the most highly sought-after coach in the world. And he's overrated. He's just opened up twice against a school he should beat easily. Texas, Maryland should not be close.
Right.
And he's lost twice to Maryland in 2 years.
They cannot, after Mac Brown, remember they brought in Charlie Strong from Louisville, right? Mm-hmm. And now Herman, I mean, given the resources allocated to that program.
This is where high school football lives. This is the biggest, richest public institution in the country. Yep. And they shouldn't be losing to Maryland.
Chip Kelly, by the way, also lost his opener at UCLA. I forget who they played.
Oh, UCLA. I didn't even know. The Pac-12. The Pac-12
Oregon won, but I think that was it.
Pac-12 took a big hit because Washington lost to Auburn.
One other note on the Maryland game. Delayed.
Now, you're married to a Maryland alum.
Yes.
Delayed for thunderstorm.
The game was close to 6 hours.
Yes.
Tipped a buzzer.
It was bright sun, as soon as you hit the ground, waves. It was like Six Flags.
Yep. It's really weird. You mentioned the Notre Dame win, the Virginia Tech win. Shout out to our good friend, Coach Brian Polian, who I will be hitting up for the October 6th Notre Dame going to Blacksburg to play Virginia Tech.
And
Nige, maybe come along. Maybe Brian we'll go down there and see Brian.
A big box of that.
Yes, Brian sent us a big box of that.
Maybe we're going to do a segment on the Georgetown win.
Marist, right?
39-12. Eat it, Marist. I mean, if we're doing a Catholic school segment, I don't see Notre Dame Georgetown football.
It's a fair point.
Right there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wilbon will join us. We haven't talked to Wilbon in months. He's back in town, and I know he's angry at how hot it is. Even though he was in Arizona, where it's actually technically hotter, he will tell us it's not hotter in Arizona than it is in Washington. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new SeatGeek ad. Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. And now I'm told to motivate my audience, to talk about my experience with the product or the service, to choose 1 to 2 copy points to rotate into my spot. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every budget is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. And I didn't choose 1 or 2. I did all 3. That's value added for SeatGeek.
There you go.
Now, they asked me to say this. I actually have the SeatGeek app on my phone. No. And it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop
convincing.
For tickets. I don't really do it. I don't do it, but, you know, right. I gave you more than you asked for.
Right.
So don't be greedy. Go. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's Chris knows, because he did it.
Awesome.
Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And now they have a new tagline.
Oh, here
we go.
And
it's pretty good.
It's exciting.
SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. That's pretty good. I got to say, that's pretty good tagline.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Hal Deranek, or Deranek, or Deranek, D-E-R-A-N-E-K. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. From Seattle, who writes, this is Hal in Seattle. Some time ago, I sent a song from my band, The Almost Faithful. I've been so happy with the reception it received, I wanted to send another. This one is called Heaven Help Us and is out now in all the usual places, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, and so on. Sadly, unless we can reach Larry King, it is not on the Hulu. This is the first single off our debut album, Human Nature, which will be released in October. That's next month. We'll be playing some shows in our native Seattle to support Human Nature. We'd love for you and the gang to come out. I recall your wistful soliloquies on the region, your fondness for the beauty and easy travels here during your adventures in Monday Night Football. We'll put you on the guest list and make sure the bar is stocked with Johnny Walker Mauve or whichever color you prefer. I'm pretty sure they'll have Buffalo Trace. That's very, very nice. That's funny. The Almost Faithful is the name of the band, and they play in Michael Wilbon, who was off from this show for the summer, and we wanted to give him a break. And I know that we must start, because you were in Arizona, I think we've got to start with your official comparisons of the weather in Arizona and Washington, D.C. yesterday, which was the hottest day of my life.
Was it?
Oh,
yes, it was that bad.
Brutal.
I didn't get in until midnight last night.
It was brutal.
Listen, you know there was a day before I left for Arizona where it was the heat index here was 91 degrees, but the heat index was 107.
Feels like
107. It was 91 degrees as well in Scottsdale, North Scottsdale.
Not just medium.
Not on the valley floor.
Right, up.
You know, up. Not where people are used to seeing ballparks. No. But the heat index there, it was 93. The heat index was 91. So I got a 16 degree, you know, bit of relief by going to Arizona in August.
In chatter right now is a gentleman from Arizona, from Scottsdale, who is backing up everything you have said and said that here we are schwitzing like Airedales. Yeah. This is yesterday on the golf course. It is absolutely brutal. The temperature was about 92 or 93, and it felt 105, 106, and it's going to do that today.
The heat index was 105.
It's unbelievably awful.
I played 2 days ago, and it was 89 with 15% humidity, which they think is soaking wet.
Yeah, well, it's
in
not
Arizona.
But yet you want to see humidity. Yeah, we'll show you humidity.
Right here, baby.
So you were out in Arizona, and I assume it was coincidence, although I know that you knew John McCain.
Yes. And John McCain is a big sports fan, and I know that you interacted with him a number of times. What was the feeling in Arizona about the passing of John McCain? What was it like to be there during, you know, you weren't at the funeral, but what was it like to be there?
Well, Tony, I was actually, the one thing I felt bad about, and this trip was planned for a while, and it involved traveling with Matthew, who was back in school, except they had Friday and Monday off. So I would love to have been in one place or the other, here or there. And instead, I was traveling. I was literally crisscrossing somewhere in the sky with McCain, Senator McCain's body, and as it traveled east. And I'll just tell you this. I'm not sure I've ever seen this here. It must have happened. I don't recall. But while we're playing golf, Tony, the flags at the golf course were lowered. And yes, that's not, how often do you see that?
Not that often. The flags at the Columbia are half because of John McCain as well. Now, I could be wrong on this. I don't know this. I'm assuming he was not a native of Arizona, that he came to settle there at some point after his Navy career.
I should know. I must know.
Sorry, Mike. He was born in the Panama Canal Zone.
He was?
Yes.
Panama Canal Zone?
Yes.
Where did he grow up?
He is not sort of all over.
Because of the Navy?
The reason he is in Arizona is because he moved there, I believe, when he married Cindy. They were married in 80. He ran for Congress in 82. But her father ran a massive, was one of the big beer distributors in Arizona. Sorry to interrupt you, Mike.
Okay,
that's okay.
So now somebody else you know pretty well, Larry Fitzgerald, was given, I think, the great honor, although it would have terrified me. Yeah, given the great honor of eulogizing him.
Terrific.
What did you think of that? Yeah.
He was fabulous at it. Tony, first of all, it was a time where you were away where John McCain was the guest on set of 5 Good Minutes.
Yeah.
Former, boxer.
Big sports guy.
Early in his career. And there were many times, and by many I mean, I don't know, somewhere between a half dozen and 8 or 9 times in my life where I would fly to Arizona and I would be on the same flight as John McCain, which was an incredible honor and one of the great honors of my life, that each one of those times after the first one, I would get to the gate, American Airlines almost always flying to Phoenix, and the gate agent would say to me, Mr. Wilbon, your seat's been moved. And my seat would be moved because John McCain or his aide, of course, had the manifest. They knew exactly who was on the flight and where. And they would move my seat to sit next to him because we were going to talk about sports for 5 hours.
Yeah, his sports
guy. Just fabulous. I mean, this goes back to when I was a columnist at the Post, and I would get on, and Senator McCain would have the paper in his hand, and he would either say, "I really love this," or "What the hell were you thinking today when you wrote this?" And we'd sit there and talk about he followed it all closely, passionately, loved it. I don't mean Arizona sports. I mean everything. It might be the Redskins. It might be God knows what, the Olympics. And it was just great to sit and have those discussions. And I played golf with his son, Andy, as well, and saw Andy fairly recently before his passing. So, yeah, Tony, I have those memories forever.
Speaking of Arizona sports, because we now know that Sam Darnold will start for the Jets, and we know that Josh Allen will not start for the Bills, Josh Rosen, drafted by Arizona mid-first round, they've got Sam Bradford, I think, who, when healthy, is a very, very effective quarterback. What is going on with that team? As long as you were there, you probably picked up something.
Well, I picked up something because I played golf and spent about 6.5 hours yesterday with a certain Roy Green.
Oh, okay.
Who, of course, played half of his career for the Cardinals. They were in St. Louis. They might have been, they might have been in Arizona at the end of his career, last year or two of his career.
Was he a two-way player, Wilbon?
Yes.
Last one.
Often on PTI, I say, if we mention Roy's name, and I go out of my way sometimes to mention it, I say that I think he's the most underrated player in the modern history of pro football. He made the Pro Bowl at cornerback and at wide receiver. Tell me exactly the last guy to do that.
Wow.
And so Roy is a dear friend, for a close friend now for a long time. And I said to him, okay, let me hear about the quarterback. And this would have been Larry Fitzgerald. He said Larry big time, Justin, went to California to play the Olympic Club, so Larry did not make himself available to the usual group.
Right.
But the thing Roy Green said, and again, receiver and cornerback, is that Sam Bradford, is it Sam Bradford? Did I say that right?
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford is so accurate. He's about the most accurate.
He just gets hurt.
That Roy Green has ever seen. Roy's telling a story, and Roy played with Neil Lomax, of course, who had a preposterous completion percentage. Did he not?
Yes.
And Jim Hart, too.
Yes. These guys were good.
Yeah.
These guys were good.
And he's talking about Bradford, but you know the sentence.
He's going to get hurt.
You know the sentence about Bradford.
He's a human.
5 to 7 games.
Tube of Bengay, baby. He's going out.
Don't say that.
Well, he does every year. He does. This is his history. He's got maybe two completed years. Maybe two full.
So we talked about that. And just, you know, Larry is apparently wildly excited about playing with Sam Bradford just off what they've seen, obviously, just the preseason.
Okay. All right. So that settled that. Northwestern won on the road. Northwestern had to open, and it's tough to open on the road in conference in the first game when you're supposed to be playing, you know, Harper College. This is not as tough as what Virginia Tech did going on the road at Florida State.
I didn't see any of that.
Well, that's a different ball game, but you probably feel great about the Northwestern win.
I do, Tony. I got lucky, too. I was on, I mentioned one airline that I fly all the time. I mentioned the other one, United, which I try rarely to fly in a lot of cases. But I was on United, and the great thing about that is United, on many of its aircraft, has DirecTV.
Oh, so you could see it.
I got to see, I had two TVs sitting side by side with young Matthew, and one TV was on the Cubs-Braves, you know, nerve-wracking game, and the other was on Northwestern the entire time, so I had 4.5 hours out there.
So you said to young Matthew, I will be commandeering the television sets.
No, he was...
I am the captain now.
We're in lockstep on what to watch.
Okay, all right.
So there's no controversy there. But yeah, Tony, winning on the road anywhere, and Purdue thinks it's going to be really good. It was a sellout. There were people standing. This is Purdue, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And so that was the case, and we were up like 34-17 and didn't score, give a hung on to win a game.
So you would not have had the opportunity, I wouldn't think, to watch Maryland, Texas.
Mm-mm.
Mike, I thought... Honestly, I thought Maryland would lose by 30 points.
Well, they crushed Texas last year.
I know, but they have what they are going through.
Yeah.
It is impossible to focus on football. Yeah. I thought they would lose by 30. I was stunned that the spread was only 12, and then more stunned. I don't know.
I watched a little bit of it. It was
unbelievable that they won that game. And they won it convincingly, by the way.
They were leading again, you know, like 14-0. You know, last year it was much more. When was it, like 28-0 last year?
Yeah, but they didn't have a dead player last year. And they didn't have a no coach.
They didn't have Jason Jones either.
No.
There was inspiration. I mean, they now,
yes,
after this tragedy, the players rally around him. The team rallies around him, his memory, his legacy, his impact, their friendship. And, yeah, I thought they would be too grief-stricken to do anything.
Absolutely. I thought their season would be terrible, and I don't know anything about Matt Canada at all, except that whatever he is saying, bottle that.
Yeah.
Bottle that.
Worked so far.
So I don't know, Tony, how closely you watch it. Wilbon, it sounds like you didn't see it all. But
I watched it. Okay, not very close, but I drifted in and out.
The freshman, Jayshon Jones, I think is from Florida. In his first three touches... ran for a touchdown, received a touchdown, threw for a touchdown.
Wow.
I think that the quarterback is from St. John's High School. Kasim Hill, is that his name?
Yeah.
Less about Maryland football, sadly, than what has been going on in the news than I've ever known before going into a season.
All right, did you watch it? You didn't watch any golf yesterday, did you?
No, I watched tennis.
Did you watch the tennis?
I watched a lot of tennis over the weekend.
So
that's on in my house.
So the Serena-Venus match is always bad.
It's always terrible.
And this was
bad.
Even worse.
I wouldn't have watched. I wouldn't have literally opened the blinds behind me.
No.
To watch Venus-Serena.
It's they don't like to do it, and it isn't any good.
No, it's painful for them. This is not like brothers going against each other. I was in Chicago for a break or something, when John and Patrick McEnroe played a final of a tournament against each other. And, of course, John wanted to kill Patrick.
You know, brothers are different.
But they are. And the Serena-Venus matches hold no intrigue. They're terribly played against one another. But there's a lot of – there's some interest. I'll tell you what I did watch. I got in last night to BWI at 10 o'clock. By the time I got home, it was, I don't know, close to midnight. And I watched Federer lose.
He lost.
Yeah, I watched Federer. That
to
match,
a guy I never
I
heard of.
To check this. Ended at about 1:15 or 1:30.
Didn't make any of the newspapers. You know, you had no idea. No, I understand.
Match.
All right, so will I see you today?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Be now.
Fantastic. PTI. See you later.
What is it, 114 outside?
It's by that time.
It'll feel it.
By that time, it'll feel, they said today, like 108. It's just too much.
So have you've gone on and on and on some more about, you know, about Nats and
no, haven't touched the Nats yet. Going to do that later.
I'm the biggest Nats fan in the world. For maybe two more days. Are they playing the Cardinals twice more?
Yep. Thursday, Wednesday.
We need that. We need the Nats to be like they were yesterday.
All right, goodbye. I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will come back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's fantastic copy from Lowe's. Virtually none of it is true for me. So I want to talk to you about Lowe's, my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. The project I had today was try to find a flashlight.
Find the flashlight. Fix
succeeded.
The power grid.
I succeeded. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in gunmetal finish. What's so great about that? Well, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. Lowe's carries a 51-piece and 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, such as if the flashlight is underneath like the cabinet, and it's hard for you to reach in.
Tucked up and
you know,
under.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's something you'd use a ratchet for.
Then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet, because it's got a 3-degree arc swing. Ooh. You don't know what that does? I didn't either, but I do now, because it's written that a 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. And we are, in this studio, particularly Gary and I, partial to Craftsman Tools because...
Sure. They've employed us.
Right, the Rails Brothers. They have employed us. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Steven Estes from Savannah, Georgia, and I like this. Featured on the local classic rock station that one time in 1996, I'm an internationally ignored songwriter with tunes featured in ones of French-Canadian student film soundtracks. As you may guess, based on my resume, this song stinks, and it's signed Steve the Sycophants, Steve the Sycophants. Wow. I like this. If you are like Steven Estes in Savannah, Georgia, and you want to send us original music, Michael, we haven't done this in a while. How do you do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. It sounds like there might be a few Craftsman tools jingling around
in the background. Yeah. In the background.
Could be.
Are we selling anything? It's been a long
time.
It's been months.
We have the official Wine Tyrant corkscrew.
Let's sell it.
And the Wine Stopper. So go online, shop.tonykornheisershow.com, and find those in some t-shirts.
Not the Run Stopper, but the Wine Stopper. Nigel has news.
I do indeed. Before we get to the news, I should just say this song is called Cutting Loose. I don't know if Steve mentioned that in his email.
No, he did not.
Yeah, so this is Cutting Loose.
It's very good.
It's very good.
Savannah, Georgia is a city that Michael knows well. So, So on the way to his in-laws.
Mr. Tony, we will start off with the U.S. Open. I know you want to maybe talk a little bit about this a little bit more. Roger Federer loses.
Who's the guy? Who is he? John Millman.
John Millman.
I've never heard of him.
Well,
was this third round or fourth round?
This was fourth round. So
never heard of him.
Winner would take on Djokovic, I believe, in the quarters.
So that's right.
Yeah, so we get deprived of a Federer Djokovic match again. The final 3-6, 7-5, 7-6, 7-6.
Roger Federer is 37 years old. This is ancient in men's tennis.
Oh yes,
it's ancient,
beyond ancient.
He's got maybe one major left to win. Maybe, I don't know. Either here or Wimbledon, but I don't know anymore. He got bounced early in Wimbledon, didn't he, this year?
Yeah, about the same time.
Yeah. Hasn't won the U.S. Open in a decade, which I was surprised to hear.
Wow.
This reminds me of the thing I thought about when I read that Roger Federer had signed something like a 10-year, hundreds of million dollars contract with Uniqlo. And so he's not a Nike anymore. He was the most familiar Nike. He and Tiger Woods were the most familiar Nike people in all of sports. And he's with Uniqlo, and I'm thinking, For what? What do you long term? What for? What for senior tennis?
You figure he's going to be doing ads, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, he's that well known.
It's
5 years from now
in Europe, I guess.
Yeah,
he's not going to be an active tennis player for anywhere near that length of time.
No.
So, Nadal had to go very deep into a match over the weekend. Do we have any sense? You're a tennis guy. Do we have any sense who's going to win this thing? John Millman.
I don't think it's going to be.
I thought I went to high school with him.
I don't think it's going to be John Millman. And Federer said more than anything, and he never really talks about this after a match, but he said the heat was just oppressive. And when he got out there, he said, yeah, he said, Millman obviously handled it better than I did. Djokovic won Wimbledon. He's healthy. He's playing really good tennis. He doesn't have to deal with Federer now. You know,
am I the only one that finds him very sort of socially awkward?
He's
sort of a weird guy.
He is a bit.
I'm rooting for and I think could win Del Potro.
Del Potro's won this.
Del Potro is, yeah, and he plays Isner, so that's going to be a match of big guys with big serves. Big guy.
He has a great rooting section. I think his box is broadly disliked by the rest of the people there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, this will not translate to podcasts, but every time he does something good, there's like four very Argentinian-looking guys up there going, hey!
Putting their arms up in the air.
It's so great. Okay. It makes me happy.
All right.
Mr. Tony, Braylon Edwards will have to sit out some time.
That's a Michigan guy.
Yes, Michigan
man. Michigan man.
I knew that was coming.
Yep. After Michigan lost to Notre Dame 24-17, Edwards tweeted out against and criticized a couple of members of the Michigan squad, including offensive lineman Cesar Ruiz, calling him weak, and Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson, calling him scared. He went on to say, blanking Michigan offense so predictable, Michigan football is sadly one thing, trash. And Jim Harbaugh responded.
Could take that a lot of different ways.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, who's very even-handed, you know. Jim Harbaugh, always sort of a level-headed guy. He actually didn't flip out that much. He just said, there's nobody in our program who thinks those things about any player on our team, let alone the two players that he described. And he went on to say, and I would say that if somebody wants to attack the character of anybody in the ball club, come after me, not our youngsters.
Very calmly, by the way. I don't know if you saw him.
I didn't, and I understand Harbaugh's point of view. But I was a little bit surprised of the suspension. I mean, he's paid to work.
Be an analyst.
That's a little surprising to me that the Big Ten Network, which now you see, you don't criticize the Big Ten teams.
Well, but apparently
you don't do it. I was surprised.
I guess being
an analyst is different than saying Chris is weak, Tony's terrible, the show is trash. I mean, that's not being an analyst. That's going off on Twitter. I mean,
okay, it's a different
here is being an analyst. He tweeted this just 19 hours ago. Braylon Edwards said, so funny that everyone is worried about my tweet as opposed to the real issue. 0-17 on the road against ranked opponents, 1-6 against rivals, and the one win was against 3-9 MSU. Last thing I will ask and really think about this before you get mad, is Michigan better than Iowa? If that had been his first tweet, he'd have been fine. But when you make it, personal, when you're calling these guys and their kids,
I think it's a difference between college and pro. That's what I was just saying. You could say like Carson Wentz stunk, and I don't think anyone would be like, we need to suspend whoever.
Well, if you work for the Philadelphia Eagles,
That's true.
I'm just saying that what I immediately occurred to me was, wow, the Big Ten doesn't want any self-criticism at all.
Well, but we talk about this as it relates to fairly positive. I mean, it's, you know, they're 69 and 69. You would think they're 100 and, you know, I mean, the team is mediocre.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of Carson Wentz, you can't criticize him because he won't be on the field. Nick Foles will be the starting quarterback for the Eagles.
How did he do in the last game he played?
I think
last
he did all
official
right.
game.
I'm not sure, but I think he might have won that. Yes. So he will be the starting quarterback. I think you mentioned a little while ago, Sam Darnold will be the quarterback for the Jets.
He will be the youngest player to ever start at quarterback in an NFL game.
21 years, 97 days old.
Surprised
when they play Detroit next Monday.
Yeah.
And then Nathan, don't call me Jay Peterman, will be
right
the quarterback.
Out of the catalog.
Yes, will be quarterback.
He had 6 inches in a game. Didn't he throw six picks in a game last year?
First half. So, and then he sat.
Chargers?
So he will. So this says that they don't think Josh Allen is close.
Well, have you looked at their. I was looking at their early schedule. It's like at Ravens, at. I want to say maybe at Jags. I don't. My computer's about to die.
So big defensive teams.
But the point was, if you start Josh Allen, you could be looking at like a confidence crushing 0-4 start.
They go at Baltimore,
right?
But you don't care about Chargers. You obviously don't care about
Chargers, Vikings, Packers, Titans. That's okay. Titans. Yeah. Titans.
Vikings. Really good defensively.
They could be 0-6.
So at 0-6, you can then put in the kid. You got nothing to lose. So maybe they're protecting him.
And Alabama has decided that they're going to have Tua
because he's better passer.
Ooh,
don't ask Nick Saban about that.
What was his last game before this season?
He
won the national championship in the second half.
Well, but did you see his numbers? I mean, I know they were playing Louisville, who are not great.
They're a lot better than the team they're going to play next Saturday.
True. But did you see the comparison of the numbers? Tua versus Jalen Hurts. I mean, Tua threw for like 235 yards, and Jalen Hurts threw for like 60 yards.
Hurts like, doesn't get intercepted and runs the team in a fabulous manner, but is not a passer.
No.
He's not a passer. And the Tua kid is.
Yes.
And Jalen Hurts has announced he's not going to transfer, no matter what. And the Tua kid could. And you don't want that.
No.
And plus, two is better. He's actually better. He's
did
fun.
You see
Tagliavoia? Is that how it's pronounced?
No chance.
Good luck. Did you see the woman? Sure. I don't remember her name. Who interviewed Nick Saban after the game?
He apologized to her.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he apologized. Okay. Yes, he apologized within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What else do we have?
Maria Taylor was the name of the
Maria Taylor.
Colleague of mine. She's very good.
He was very.
He was off base. Sure. I mean, she asked a completely
such
reasonable
a
question.
How dare you ask me about the most pressing thing facing the team?
She essentially asked what his what his feelings were on the quarterback play, what he learned from tonight, and he basically said, "Stop trying to get me to say something bad about one of them. I'm not going to do it."
But this speaks to the corrosion of actual capital J journalism because of the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network, because all these people are on the dime of.
Right.
So when someone for ESPN who is not beholden, whose job is not dependent on the Big Ten Network, asks a real, totally legitimate question, Saban, who is totally closeted by his own media coverage, reacts poorly. I mean, come on, question is beyond.
But hold on a second. Saban reacts poorly to every question every person, every time.
Belichickian.
Every time. He stands up there at a podium, makes sure that you see his Coca-Cola bottle, because they're sponsored by Coca-Cola. And then no matter what you asked, he is condescending and awful. Come on. I mean, this is not
my
new.
Capital J journalism rant.
This is not new. Well, you're right. But that's who he is the time.
We should also point out, the next time that team appears not ready to play will be the first.
Yes.
I mean, they are
always
ready to go.
Always ready.
He's the best.
It's crazy.
Can't stand him. He's the best.
Yep. The Washington Nationals. I know you wanted to talk about them a little bit. They get a nice win, as Wovan pointed out, against the Cardinals last night. 2-run homer by Bryce Harper in the ninth.
That's fine.
And he gets the walk-off set flying to 10.
So going away present from Bryce.
Let's go the other way.
69-69.
Let's go the other way for a second, because I watched that game. Because I always watch when Scherzer pitches. And Scherzer didn't have his best night, but he only allowed about three hits. Three runs, three hits. His ERA, he didn't figure in the decision.
But
260 strikeouts at this point. A 2.28 ERA, and he's 16-6. Aaron Nola, 15-4, and outpitched him a little bit. Two times in a row. And Jacob deGrom, who Keith Olbermann says will win the Cy Young with a 1.68 ERA and no team behind him. That's the good news. Matt Wieters, I went crazy last night. Matt Wieters comes into the game, two on, one out. Matt Wieters batting lefty against a right-hander, strikes out. Looks ridiculous on the way he struck out. I mean, the pitch was in the dirt. Comes up again in the next inning batting righty and strikes out again. He cannot be with this team next year.
And he won't.
He cannot be.
How does 229 taste?
Certainly don't want him.
They've tried to get rid of him for the last year and a half.
Far worse than that. You have a two-on, one-out situation with Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto coming up. You have a pitcher who has walked two people in a row. He has walked Trey Turner. He has walked Bryce Harper. You are down 3-1 at this moment. He's walked two guys in a row. Rendon swings at the first pitch, pop out to right field. Soto swings at the first pitch, routine two-hop ground ball to second base. Does anybody say to hitters, hey, he's walked two guys in a row. We're trying to, as FP says, keep the line moving here.
Line is moving,
that was
folks.
Terrible. Two pitches and out of the inning.
Okay,
now, what Harper did, and that was a bomb in the bottom of the ninth.
451.
That was a bomb. Harper had his finest moment since the All-Star game, since the Home Run Derby. He tied it, and then he won it. And that's an hasta la vista to everybody.
Going away present.
You know, think nice thoughts of me if I'm not
Phillies
here next
outfield.
Year. But I was texting back and forth to anyone who would pay attention to me. My disgust.
The ever-dwindling list.
Yeah, with Wieters and Rendon and Soto.
But can we talk about, let's not miss the really good news that happened since we last did a show, Tony. And I mean the very good news.
Ryan Madsen dumped.
Not that.
Gio Gonzalez.
Correct. We pawned Gio off on the Brewers. Right. I mean, that is great.
Yeah. Last start, grand slam.
He is terrible.
Whoops.
It's just so good. They don't have to see him again. 93 pitches through three and a half innings. Baffled by his inability to throw strikes on 3-2.
I know I shouldn't bring this up, but the manager and the pitching coach, they make the same mistake.
We were
mistake.
There Sunday afternoon, same the fifth inning. Davey looks afraid standing at the top of the dugout. Looks afraid.
Scared.
Because he's got the kids walked six batters to that point, right? Jeffy Rodriguez?
Yep.
Take him out.
I think we're going to see a big day after the season ends. Big piece on all the dysfunction. I feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it. I know. We're not going to get it now, but you're going to get a big piece about
and
how
and then somebody's going to tell you, I knew it all.
Guys don't like Davey, but you know.
I knew it from the camels.
To Michael's point, like the dugout doesn't look.
He made the it's the same situation.
They
had
a better team than they had last year.
It's Groundhog Day.
69-69.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Come on, 69. Man. What are we even doing here? What else?
Man. One final story, Mr. Tony. We'll take you down to Stuart, Florida.
I know where that is. There's a big Air Force base there.
Okay. It's on the ocean side, not on the Gulf side, right?
Yeah. Stuart Air Force Base.
Yeah, it's one of ours.
Mary and Richard Van Houten love to go to Carrabba's Italian Grill restaurant.
Who doesn't?
Right. Related to Milhouse Van
Every
Houten?
Monday. And when they would go
I've been there. It's very good, Carrabba's.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's very good.
Yes. Well, it's no macaroni grill, but it's good. I
mean. When they would go on Mondays, of course they would bring JoJo the pet capuchin monkey.
Wait, did you say this is in Florida, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes,
just double checking.
At the Carrabba's Italian Grill. And they would eat outside on the patio. Just the three of them.
Yeah.
Sitting lovely, you know, dining
Did
al fresco.
Did he sit in an actual chair?
Yes, in an actual chair.
It's just like a human.
High chair. In a high chair, just like Bootsy.
In a high chair.
So just like Bootsy.
Probably put a bib on him.
Maybe his own travel high chair.
Yeah.
However, recently, another diner by the name of Joseph Ignelzi was very excited to see JoJo and the Van Houtens there, and he encouraged his son Jackson to pet JoJo
Mistake.
The monkey.
It's a wild animal.
Despite the fact that the Van Houtens said the monkey's being a little hyper today. As JoJo, the monkey, was caressing the boy's hand, he brought it to her mouth and was just nibbling on the fingers. And then something made a loud noise. JoJo got startled and bit down onto the finger. What is this?
How much of the finger was left in JoJo's possession?
Well, it's just
a
little. You know what? It's a good war story that Jackson will have for the rest of his life. Investigators went to the owner's home, said they had all the appropriate cages and supplied with the necessary stuff that they needed for him. The takeaway is that, unfortunately, unfortunately, Carrabba's has to say that they no longer will allow monkeys on the patio.
That's not fair.
Wow. It doesn't seem anti-capuchin monkey agenda.
JoJo's at a restaurant. JoJo's in the proper seating area. And the kid's finger looks like a breadstick.
That's right.
Yes.
A loud noise would startle almost all of us.
No. It certainly startled Chessie.
No more monkey Mondays.
And if your head was in Chessie's mouth at that point.
Why do
that
people would be have capuchin monkeys as pets? I
don't know.
Why did they take them to the Carrabba's?
Well, why are they allowed in?
Yes. There you go.
Monkey got to
take
eat.
A break. Yeah, monkey got to eat. We'll be back with Old Guy Radio. I'll tell some golf stories. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wow, this is a host read, and it says, hosts to riff off the script that appeals most to them, version one or version two. To be ad-lib, but this provides a template and key massaging. Or messaging, I'm sorry, messaging. Oh,
key massaging would be more interesting.
Let's start with version one, okay, because it's the first one.
Let's start with that. Right.
Did you know that every single episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify? Yeah, the same app that has millions of songs now has thousands of podcasts as well. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows, like this one, and discover new ones, just not too many, because we get jealous very easily. To subscribe to our show, search for The Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now, and now, and now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is the slow and best version of Catch the Wind by Donovan. This is one of my favorite songs of all time, and we're playing it today because his daughter, Ione Skye, an actress of some note, has a birthday today. How old is she? In her 40s?
She's 48 today.
48 years old?
Yes. Yeah.
Formerly married to Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys. Maybe currently married to him.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
She was in a movie that I liked very much, a small movie called Gas Food Logic.
Well, I haven't seen
that. It's a long time ago movie, and it's I think it's quite good. Ione Skye.
No, divorced from him, but was in Say Anything, correct?
Yes.
Isn't Ione Skye?
Correct. Yes. River's Edge, I think, was in as well.
I loved him.
By the way, this slow version, which you and I both
prefer,
it's the
best. It's great.
He had to re-record this when Epic Records was compiling the Donovan's Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
They didn't have the rights to this or colors, so he had to redo them completely. And quite honestly, the version
better.
We just heard is so much better. Than the up-tempo
better.
Single that he was
better
released.
Better by a lot.
Yes.
Better by a lot.
So,
all right, so I thought I would talk a little bit about golf. I've reached the point where I I'm golfed out. I stink. I mean, I'm not very good to begin with.
You still enjoy it when you say golfed out.
But I don't hit it. I can't hit the ball.
Don't even ask about the traps.
I'm actually terrible. I can't get out of sand. I'm really bad now. Michael used to say that I was the worst heavy duty golfer he had ever seen in his life, and I'm far worse now than I was then. I'm a 20 now, and that is giving me credit. I am really, really bad. I went out to the beach on Friday. Got rained out. We didn't play at all. Played Saturday with the socialite and had a good time. Gary didn't want to play Saturday, so we played with a couple of other people. And I came back, and I'm like an addict. I get back.
It's what you do.
I drive back. I leave the beach at 6 in the morning on Sunday.
Oh,
God. I just go right to the course here.
Oh,
no, I just
do you derive
can't help
enjoyment
myself.
From playing even though you are struggling?
Yes.
Yeah, so
it's the only thing I do that I really like.
You just like that it's a distraction
other than
the
show.
4 hours.
Yes, I like it. I don't
like
have
being
to,
there.
I
you
don't
like,
think
yeah.
about anything
yeah.
but golf.
Right.
So yesterday we have there are three tournaments at Columbia. There are more than three, but there are three that I play in with Team Coco. And this is Arch Campbell, Pete Creedon, and Courtney Fremming, who is Coco, Team Coco. We play together. We've won the Memorial Day tournament 1 year. So we play Memorial Day. We play July 4th. Oh, I didn't play July 4th this year. And we play Labor Day. This is the end of season tournament. You know, this is it. And we go out there and we start out. We get a lot of dots. We get a lot of dots on the card.
It's officially a net tournament. Your foursome is taking one gross better ball, one net better ball.
Just one net. Okay. I mean, because our gross is irrelevant. We're not, you know, we're not going to ever do very well in gross because we have. You raising your hand?
Well, yeah, I was just
going to explain what that is.
Oh, what a lot of dots mean?
Dots means dots are candy.
Okay.
Sugar,
oh.
Whatever.
Oh, actual.
We
dots.
Get. We get. No. 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 We get strokes.
He gets. Oh, he okay. gets strokes.
I get 16.
Due to not being great.
I get 16. Courtney gets 14. I don't know how she got cheated like that. Courtney gets 14, but Courtney. Gets, you know, her tee offs on the par threes is really way up, and she's a pretty good player.
Only your so team's on the best ball.
That's
scores,
cool. With okay. the net. Right. Best Got ball it. Net.
Right.
Pete, I think, gets 8 or 9.
And he's a former scratch player.
He was a good player, but he's, you know, he's had troubles lately. We start out.
Where's Arch? Arch isn't better than you, is he?
Arch gets
You're not better than
15.
Me.
Okay.
Arch gets he's better than me because yeah. I get 16. Arch, we start out badly. We start out.
It's the best way to do it.
On one, we go 5 for 4. On two, we go 5 for 4. Mm. On three, we go 5 for 4. This is not good. You can't win by being
even.
You can't be win by getting even. On four, we get a 3 for 2. Courtney gets 3 for 2, or somebody gets 3 for 2. Maybe I got 3 for 2. I don't really remember.
That's a par three, I presume.
It's a par three. Mm-hmm. We got a 3 for 2 on four. I think, maybe not. Maybe we didn't. Maybe we were just even. Maybe we were just even after four.
Something happened on the golf course.
Okay. I think we're even after four.
I'm looking forward to the next 14 holes.
And I'm saying, we are losers. We stink. What are we doing? Let's stop now.
Doesn't seem like you're to rush to judgment.
It's very hot. Let's just stop now.
Here comes the comeback.
It's really hot. At five, Creedon says, let's change the order.
Oh.
You know, because Arch... We're not doing well with you leading off. Tony, you lead off.
Sure. Put your best player first.
Right. We start going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
We go 5 for 4 on that hole. 5 for 4 on the par 5. So now we're -1. We go 5 for 4, I believe, on 6. I believe that we got 5 for 4. Pete probably... no, I think we got 4 for 3. Pete may have done that. I got 4 for 3 on 7, and I had a... 8-foot birdie putt, 7-foot birdie putt, just didn't get it. We make a great par on 8. With nobody's getting strokes on 8. Pete's off the green first on his first shot. He chips barely onto the green. He's putting uphill, moving right about 14 feet, and it slides inside door. That is, in hindsight, that is the shot of the day for us. I par 9, okay? I think Courtney pars 10, I believe. 11, everybody's getting shots. We get maybe Pete. Somebody parred it. Maybe that was Courtney again. I think Courtney hit third shots to under 5 feet on 10 and 11. On 12, I parred 12, but Arch had a birdie, which is a 4 for 3. On 13,
net eagle.
I got 3 for 4. We went insane. We went insane.
So shop credit?
So I don't know. I'm sure we were in the top 10 finishes.
What did you finish at?
We finished 58, which means we're 12 under.
Holy cow.
So we got points. We did not get points on 8. We did not get points on 18. But we got points everywhere else. We had pars everywhere else. Holy and this is what I want to get to. On 16, nobody's getting shots on 16. That's actually, we didn't get points, and I'll tell you this story. 16 is the only, there's only two places where water comes into play, truly, on Columbia. 16, which is number 12 at Augusta, is patterned after 16. Am I right on this, Michael? You want to
tell
that story?
That is the local lore, yes.
That Bobby Jones played in
the 1921 U.S. Open here at Columbia Country Club.
And was so enamored of number 16 that number 12 is designed to be like number 16. So there's water in play. I would say that the last 10 to 12 times I've played this hole, I have either put it in the water weekly or been so afraid of the water that I went so far left into the schmutz that I couldn't barely find them. I haven't gotten less than a 5 on this hole in about a month. I'm out of the hole. I take the hole is playing 160. I'm an old man. I take my 23 degree rescue, which I think I can hit 150 to 160 if I hit it well. I hit it pretty well. It lands about a third of the way up on the green and rolls toward the hole and toward the hole and toward the hole. Oh. And when it stops rolling, it is under the hole by 1 foot, 10 inches.
Oh, nice.
I, of course, missed the putt.
Oh,
because,
oh my
no, God. No, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened.
It's unforgivable what your playing partners did to you on this hole.
This is exactly right. I hit that shot. They don't even try. A couple of them put it in the water. Courtney puts it in a trap. They leave me to go by myself, and they take pictures of where the ball is. They leave me to go by myself to just knock. Now, this is a total give me. This is a give me on in any...
Literally 22 inches.
Literally 22 inches.
And you're underneath the hole.
I'm under.
So it's uphill. Yeah. Straight. I mean, it's easy make.
Cannot miss it. You cannot miss the putt.
Oh, my God.
The pin is still in, and I go up, and I walk up, and I sort of scrape it, and I go by. I don't even care. Honestly, I don't even care. I was so close. It didn't matter to me because it was the shot that mattered. I got to have the caddy right on the closest to the pin placard.
Right.
1 foot, 10 inches. Now, I may not have won it. Somebody might have gotten inside me, but, Michael, you don't think anybody did.
No, we were one of the last groups, and that held up. But you have to have one person walk with you across the bridge.
Pete said he
and hold the flag.
Pete said it was. Pete Creedon said it was his mistake. After that, it was his mistake. Pete missed an eagle putt on 17 by a foot or something like that. We got points.
I don't
on
even know why you putt it. This was so close. No one would have faulted of you if you just picked it up.
I understand, and you're 100% right. And then we would have had 57, but we had 58, and we were still feeling good about 58
until
I made a phone call to my son. Michael, why don't you take over the story?
So I'm playing in a different group. We are looking for gross because we're not getting a lot of dots on the course.
You got one dot.
We actually had to give a few back to the course throughout the round. So I'm playing with,
what's the opposite of a dot?
I am playing with Alex Tenhove, who is one of the best putters in the Mid-Atlantic and who made about five putts that you have no business making in a tournament round. Holiday Doug Herson. Who went nuts and made four birdies in a row on the back nine and holed out for eagle on number nine, and Ralph Blasi, who had a smooth 63, I think, on his own ball. So
our
gross was 17 under. We were 9 under through the first nine, and we missed an eagle putt on five, missed a short eagle putt, had two eagles on the day, legit eagles, and carded 23 birdies between the four of us, which many, you know, we couldn't use. We had sort of a...
people had to give birdies up.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, an embarrassment of riches. God. So we had a great tournament day. We have a great record in this closing out of the regular season. And yes, Chris, you bring it up. You play in this for shop credit.
Yeah.
It's fake money
to
buy things that you do not need.
But they look...
You got a Peter Millar pullover.
Shirts that you already have a dozen of them that you never use. Yeah. I realized last year in the turkey shoot, the prize that they gave me was a nice Columbia golf shirt. I put it away, saved it. I pull it out. They were so tired of us winning, they gave us youth sizes. I have a youth size large waiting for Bootsy for a couple years from now.
Couple years.
So you shot 53?
53.
So did you win both?
Nobody's
doing gross in that.
So it is a net tournament. So we won net, and our good friends came in with the gross. But we walk up to the scorers table, and there are a lot of members jeering at us, and the way we assembled our team.
53.
Pretty good squad.
Jeez.
So even if we had gotten 57, even if I just picked up,
wouldn't have mattered.
We were nowhere near the money. Nowhere near.
Have you holed out? Have you ever made a one?
Never.
You
never.
Have?
Never.
So
I've seen.
Is that the closest you've come?
I've come.
Did it ever look like it was going to go in, or was it just close?
It was tracking so that it was going to reach the pin, but it veered off.
Okay.
So no, I never thought it was going in. But I was so thrilled that I finally didn't go in the water on that hole. I was just so thrilled about that. But you're right. And Pete said afterwards, he said, I should have come with you. I shouldn't have let you do that. I should have pulled the pin. I should have calmed you down. I should have told you to put a marker down and all of that.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled. And I was jacked up.
Sure.
Because I was really thrilled.
You didn't try a putt between your legs?
I didn't try to putt between my legs.
Lefty? No. Or putt it in with your wedge like Roy did yesterday?
Does that re-inspire you then? Yeah, you come into the story saying you play miserably.
That's golf.
And then you have...
That is golf.
That's what happens.
In a nutshell.
What happens. That's what happens. All right, that's it. That's my only story. So we'll get out of here.
Story.
Right?
Yeah.
And we will come back.
We have the first mailbag jingle of this year.
Of the new year.
Is by Joe Farrell.
Fantastic. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
1-877 Ingleside, Ingles. I'd 1-877 Ingleside.
There were three
dinner
keystrokes.
At 4 p.m.
All right, I need to remember that number.
So and Joe Farrell of Only Maryland writes, "Believe it or not, I nailed this in one take.
Really."
Just brilliant.
That's
let me thank Mike Wilbon for coming on with us today. Let me thank our sponsors, SeatGeek, Spotify, and Lowe's. Remember to subscribe and listen to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We will be on tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll take Friday off, just so you know. To Charlie DiGiovanni, who is our general manager, Ron's grandfather, and a new listener, and he's been listening recently. A shout out to him.
Hello,
hope
Charlie.
He's doing well.
Great first name. My son.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. From Buddy Blattner.
Buddy Blattner
was sort of famous at one point. Look up Buddy Blattner.
Blattner.
Glenview, Illinois. Dear Tony, please see my first harvest of tomatoes and peppers from our vegetable garden. He showed a picture. In northwest Wisconsin, we have deer and bear, but I managed a good haul. Also, I included in the picture a UCLA football hat. Supporting my favorite team.
Are you thinking of our the American table tennis and baseball player, radio and TV sportscaster?
Yes, yes, yes.
He died in Chesterfield, Missouri in
different
2009.
Guy, I'm guessing.
Okay,
different
guy. But yes. Buddy Blattner.
Yes,
Buddy. So our Buddy tomato Blattner. Haul was terrible this year. The deer did not eat it.
I can only do so much for you.
I know, and it was my mistake,
but
I'm
how about
sure.
the grape tomatoes on the porch?
Those were good. Those were very good. From Steve the Sycophant. Please, please, dear Toby, get this into your head. Rain can't stop lava. You keep repeating like a mantra, why can't rain stop lava? I'll tell you why. It's like me spitting on a forest fire. New islands formed from volcanoes' lava rise out of the ocean quite often. If the ocean can't stop lava, a few lousy raindrops won't do diddly. On matters of the English language, you reign supreme. On geography, geology, history, and who knows what else, all you should do is turn to Nigel and say, look it up because I don't know. And that's... probably fair. From Cody Workala in Portland, Oregon. I really didn't think Mr. Tony was qualified to be doing the reads for Lowe's. And then he dropped the colloquialisms lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. And right there and then, I knew he'd spent a lot of time around a ratchet.
Well, he's a tool, so it fits.
Franklin Huff in Niles, Michigan. I couldn't help but notice that Bomani and Pablo are creeping closer to your time slot. Yeah, they're going to go at 4
footsteps.
And soon 5:30.
Footsteps.
From Jonathan Barnett, formerly of Savage, Minnesota, listening to the podcast while driving, almost went off the road when you said Minnesota Viking fans are rabid. I moved to Minnesota just before getting married, and I was shocked at how hard it was to tell there was a pro football team in town. Local advertisers used Twins and Wild players on the billboards, radio ads, and TV ads. I attended college in the Twin Cities. After the Vikings lost to the Falcons in the 1998-99 NFC Championship, I was walking through the Mall of America. Vikings gear was listed at 75% off and no one was looking. Remember, this is a place where with Adrian Peterson in 2006, they needed Best Buy and Target to buy tickets and give them away for free to avoid several blackouts. I'm telling you, though, my experience is that Vikings fans who are separated, who are gone from Minnesota, care about them with a rabidness unseen by things that are not raccoons.
There's an ardor.
It's amazing. Bobby Gottfried, even before the Caps won the Cup, the Twin Cities had the longest drought of places with a team in each of the four major sports, but it was close. The Twins won the World Series in October of 1991. The Redskins won the Super Bowl in January of 1992. So even without the Stanley Cup, Minneapolis-St. Paul were the reigning champions of lack of champions. Championships reset the board to zero, Nigel.
Oh,
Carla Corrado, sure. We haven't heard from in a while.
Hey,
Columbus.
Carla.
It was fascinating to hear about your golf game with Tom Friedman. So wonderful to know about the socialite playing golf with Maury in an exotic locale. Just wanted to let you know that I played bingo at the VFW hall with a guy named Fred. We drank Crystal Light. We stayed at the Red Roof Inn where bathrobes are suggested but not required.
This is truly amazing. Mr. Tony should tell Abby next time he's on the show. This is from Pat Skaggs. And it said, another advisor said Trump remarked this year, quote, I need a lawyer like Abby Lowell.
Mm. Well, he is
in the family.
Allegedly, according to reporting, thinking about bringing Abby on.
Is that right?
Yes.
Jerry Negrelli writes, the 5th annual Jingle Fest, Jingle Side, that's a funny name, is scheduled for Saturday, June 22nd, 2019. The Littles have organized a Kickstarter to raise funds to cover travel for the performers and rent a facility. If the Littles would like to support Jingle Side, they need to act quickly because the campaign ends this Friday, September 7th. More details can be found at littlesongs.net or by searching Jingle Side on Kickstarter.
Cool.
And we're happy to support that as much as
we can. And
we'll
be there.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry, for that. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
All right, pervert.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye, pervert.
A whole lot closer than many of us ever get. One is a sweet, a sugar on a Sunday table, but there's no sugar on her tongue when she deals day's fables. Dear don't mean no harm, but he's harmful just the same. She turns on in the gold and he turns it back again. Source of Nile, and only all by cotton, about 10,000 miles. Literally all by cotton, about 10,000 miles. David Wanda stumbled into church one Sunday. A few in the pews held on tight to their money. But several knew a prodigal son when they saw one. And then there was day paying for grace given to everyone. In the corner of her mouth, she figured a dang sign better than letting the hellhounds out. She took to calling a symptom and being from the south. She dug herself down deeper, digging herself deeper and down. Some say there was an anger weighing one and down. Don't weigh that anger, let's want to drift towards the sound. See, it like some of us were just born to lose, but I ain't saying it's them, maybe it's you. See, the few things they figured haven't worked out, but they figured on together and never lost a scowl. They done figured on together and never lost a scowl. They done figured on together and they never lost a scowl.